Welcome to Building Leaders, everyone, the show about the creative geniuses that are building our world. My name is Angelos Nicolaou. I'm the director at Sector and your host. With us, as always, Michalis Solomontos, our vice president. We love talking to the superstars of the construction industry and sharing their stories with you on this show. If you have anyone that you'd like us to interview, please feel free to share their contact details with us at info@sector.build. Again, that's info@sector.build. Thanks, and we hope you enjoyed today's episode.
Okay, so thank you so much for joining us today, Ari. It's been a pleasure to work with you over these past few months. We'll get into that. We'll tell everyone what we're doing with AECOM. But if we can start by you introducing yourself, your position, and the project that you're working on.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm Aris from AECOM, working for the new pier of Schiphol Airport in the Netherlands. I'm part of the project management team. We've been working on that project for 2 years now.
Awesome, that's great. So, you know, Schiphol is one of the biggest airports in Europe, in the world. I'm assuming it's a pretty important project, pretty prestigious project to be working on. How big is the team? If you can share that with us at Schiphol right now, you know, from AECOM side.
I mean, our role is we're the lead designer, so we're responsible from the foundation until the last furniture, and we are around 52 people in total from different countries, based on every discipline. We're providing mechanical, electronical, plumbing, system services, of course, architectural structures, and fire. In a nutshell, the project is a 400 meter long structure, three stories. It will be the greenest building in Schiphol. It will accommodate 8 new gates, and it will increase the annual passengers around 15 million per year additional.
Wow. That's one of the benefits, I guess, of working for AECOM, right? I mean, one of the benefits that your customers get is that you're everywhere in every single country, and you know, you have these top-notch services everywhere you are. But also for you, in terms of your career, you know, you have this opportunity to work on projects like this and with such diverse teams. You know, multinational from 10 countries. Are your engineers currently spread around? Are they all there? Do they have to travel in and out? What's sort of the case there?
I mean, first, I'm very lucky for being in that team. It's like, you know, a big pleasure, and we have 10 different nationalities. We have people in Spain, in UK mainly, of MEP structure systems. And they travel every week. Now we're trying to gather again all the resources on site. Of course, we have a resident project management team, which is here. We live here and we work daily, and we have a daily communication with the contractor and the client.
Mm-hmm. Really cool. What would you say is the most important thing that you learned in all your years while you started, you know, working at AECOM? What would you say is the most important thing, if you could choose one? I know it's kind of a broad question here.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the most important thing I've learned is that, you know, behind that monster of 50,000 people across all the 7 continents of the world, There is a common mindset that helps you sustain your core values and evolve in your career. I mean, you know, I've worked a lot of on site as a site engineer, and there was a point that in order to get things done, you see from other contractors, etc., that some people are quite, let's say, bold. You could say ruthless at some areas. You understand what I'm trying to say? Yeah. And that was going, I was thinking that, you know, that's the point that probably I will not evolve because I cannot do that. And the good thing about AECOM is that that attitude doesn't fly here. There is a like a hidden system that makes you be respectful, say the things one time, and still get the job done. You don't have to change your core values. And core values is really important, like every group, team, family. Trust, honesty, and being respectful is something that we have, and we move forward on these things. And yeah, that was a great relief, let's say, because I feel like I don't have any restrictions to evolve in my career.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, I guess it's really different from what construction used to be. You know, it used to be more military. Now we're moving to more autonomy, and the culture of construction is changing. And it's definitely great to hear that, you know, coming from one of the biggest companies, the most influential companies, and coming from you. So that's really great. I'm curious, what advice would you give an engineer that is, you know, just finished university and would like to start a career in construction right now, you know, based on the needs of the industry and also what you're seeing, the reality. So needs plus reality.
Yeah, okay. I would say that step away from the norms. Don't be afraid to make mistakes, because as a graduate engineer, you have a leverage, let's say, an opportunity to make mistakes without being judged based on your experience. So you can do the rookie mistake and utilize the technology to the maximum. I believe that the technology of construction right now is quite out of date in comparison to the other technology, to the other industries. And as a graduate, I think young people need to bring that knowledge, bring that, because it's there, bring it to the industry, question it, test it, and apply it. And yeah, again, don't be afraid to risk and challenge yourself, because that will be the only opportunity in your life that you can challenge yourself, push it to the limits, and still keep your job.
Right. Do you think mistakes, or was there a particular mistake that you think played a particular role in your life, in your career, you know, helping you get to where you were, to where you are right now?
I don't know. I made a lot of mistakes. I don't remember them, all of them. Yeah, I mean, if I would say I have made a mistake, is that maybe I should have challenged myself sooner, let's say, to work internationally, because AECOM gives you the opportunity to join projects that you can all over the world. And I think if you're a member of this type of company, you have a responsibility, or not a responsibility, you have a great opportunity to change community, change mindset, cultures, etc., career, of course, new friends, actually, with a super easy transaction, because you're within the company and you go into another branch office, again, with similar mindset, similar mentality, and it's not like you're changing country and then you're going to the unknown. So, I'm glad that I have made that changes in my career, and I wish there were more. Let's say that would be a mistake. Apart from that, I don't recall anything else.
You know, it sounds like you're pretty inspired by your job, and not just talking to you now, but you know, in general, as we were talking, as we worked together. And you know, we often have discussions into what it means to be a leader, and there's there's a bunch of definitions out there, but I feel that, you know, inspiring others and feeling inspired and being inspired yourself is a big part of leadership. And I do see you as a great leader. So I'm really curious, what inspires you the most about your project and in your career?
I mean, working in a team with 10 different nationalities in one of the greatest, one of the biggest airports in Europe, it's inspiring by definition. And again, as I said, I'm very lucky of joining that team. It's like joining the best football team, and you don't have to say much. You just get in and play ball. It's inspiring since day one, especially when we had to work from home in March 2020. We showed them very good resilience, flexibility, and our team was tested, let's say. We had to deliver a really important milestone in April, and we succeeded and we didn't delay it. So yeah, working again with people from different cultures and different mindsets, it's really inspiring. You learn every day.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm getting kind of jealous. So, you know, we did a sector's relationship with AECOM started way before, you know, it started, I think about a year and a half before we started talking. Part of what we do at Sector is that we do a lot of workshops with our customers, with our partners, to understand them, to understand their projects. We source the best tech. We're proud of sourcing and working with the best construction technology companies out there. And then once we find a match, we try to bring the two together. Obviously members of your team that know you had suggested that we get in touch with you. And, you know, once we had that first presentation, I think we hit it off right then and there. I'm curious, for everyone who doesn't know, the tool that we implemented with AECOM on Schiphol Airport is OpenSpace, our 360 reality capture tool. I'm curious, Ari, what was your first reaction? If you can go back in time, what was your first reaction when you first saw OpenSpace?
I mean, seeing OpenSpace first time is, you know, this moment that you say, wow, this is very innovative, but at the same time is straightforward. It's there. Why I didn't think about that? So fortunately, some people thought about that, and really happy that they did. And yeah, that was the feeling, you know, like common sense. It's there. Some people worked on it and it made our life super easy. And we have a common platform to communicate now on site.
Right. Right. It's kind of like, you know, you pretty much can't imagine going anywhere anymore to a new country, let's say, without using a GPS, right? It's just one of those things that, you know, completely changed your life or changed the way that you did a particular thing. I mean, you just can't imagine the future without it. Would you say that's sort of the case with reality capture tools, with, you know, 360 tools? I'm curious how are you currently using it?
I mean, we use it almost every day, two captures with different gear.
Oh wow!
It's our essential tool. Again, as you said, it's like, actually it's Google Street Map on site, so you have a very good actually you have 100% realistic representation of your site progress. And the most important thing is that we have a common platform of communication, that we don't have to send a text or an email with a daily report or a field note or something that we found on site. We just have one platform. You put all the notes there, all the issues, let's say, you follow up, you see who has completed, what has been closed, what is pending, and it's all there with one click. So, I mean, all this information gathered in one area, one environment, it's amazing. It's the best housekeeping you could do in the construction world, let's say.
That's really interesting. You also mentioned daily reports because, you know, that's a pretty standard, typical process that has happened. It feels almost like forever in construction, right? Especially since projects started getting more complex. Do you feel that with the introduction of technologies such as OpenSpace, even the most basic processes will somehow be transformed? Do you see a world where perhaps daily reports are almost entirely automated?
Yeah, of course. It's you know, like designing with pen, and then AutoCAD comes in the game. I've written a lot of daily and weekly reports, and it was something. It was a routine, and in the end, it wasn't very trackable. Let's say, because to see the history of an issue, you need to know which daily reports to open or to open a monthly report to track the whole thing. Where here we have one platform, and you put an issue on this platform like a pin, and then stays there forever, even if you leave the project. Somebody else, and you can see how OpenSpace works if you put someone that hasn't been on site, that they can find all the issues with the field notes, and they can, you know, you can bring them up to speed pretty much fast. So if you compare that transition of bringing someone new in a project with the old tools, you would see the difference.
I'm sure, Ari, that sounds incredible. And I'm sure, you know, now there's people listening to this and they're thinking, okay, I have a team of 50 people. How do I convince them to change the way they do things? Or how do I, you know, what's the best way to introduce technology to a project like Skipple? That's pretty complex. There's multiple joint ventures. There's contractors, the owners involved. It's as crazy as construction projects get. So what's your tip on, introducing and implementing a technology successfully on a project like Skipple?
I mean, implementing a good technology, I think you need to have a good team on the background. It's like the BIM discipline, let's say. You need a separate team to utilize that technology, communicate to the rest of the team, and you know, sustain it, let's say. So if you want to use a strong technology, you need to have a strong team. And to do that, you need to make sure that the team that is dealing with OpenSpace is keeping the right notes, communicating to the right people, and keeping up with capturing.
It's all about the team, right? Well, is there something that you see in your team, in engineers, in your team, that you think makes them unique, makes them, you know, open to technologies? Let's say if you were hiring an engineer today, you know, given that you're a fan of technology, of construction tech, what would you look for in that engineer to hire them?
I mean, I would look to. In terms of how she looks for the new technology, how she how she understands the tools and use them. So I think these kind of applications are very user friendly. You don't have to be like to have like special skills to understand them. You just need to spend time. That's why, as mentioned before, you need to have a specific team doing that. Because you need to have the time, clear mind, and tackle it. And again, you know, there are a lot of things out there that are happening, and I believe that we're quite behind in terms of construction technology, and we need to catch up with the rest of the industries. To do that, we need to be open-minded, and as we did with you guys. I mean, you can have a trial period in the end for a couple of months to check an application, because you know OpenSpace is a fancy app. You see it, you say, wow, it looks like Google Street View, it's nice, the analysis is great, but maybe it's not for the specific projects, maybe you cannot utilize it properly. So that's why you need to test the specific team that will use the specific tool to see if this thing go together. And most importantly, is the client happy in the end?
Right.
So yeah, trial periods, I would say.
Right. Go for it, you know, give it a try. What do you have to lose? You know, worst case scenario, you tried a new technology, it didn't work for you. At least you know that this technology is not right for me or for this project. Exactly. But you know, you learn something new. Yeah, that's awesome. I love that, Ari. That's great. You know, one of the most inspiring things that I've seen come out of you is that article that you wrote, "Our Freedom to Grow." Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what that article was about for anyone who hasn't read it? And if you haven't, by the way, connect with Aris on LinkedIn and make sure you read that.
Yeah, I mean, Freedom to Grow started in Acom before the working from home era. Let's say, in a nutshell, is if it works for you, if it works for your team and the client, it works for Acom. So you don't have to be physically at the office every second of the day if you can still deliver and have your team and the client happy. That was the whole thing. And we were very lucky implementing that mindset. Because when we start working from home in March, not only the mentality was there and ready, also the relevant technology was there. So we could carry on working the next day without any major change. The only change was that everybody was at home, families, kids, so you have to find a quiet space. Apart from that, VPN, server, everything was there working. And since some people have done that in the past based on their job position, it was easy for everyone.
And
I mean, Freedom to Grow and OpenSpace, they're going quite together, I think. I mean, because you don't have to bring all the 50 people on site every day to see the progress. You have a core team capturing the site and make sure they're communicating with the rest of the team online or in the relevant branch offices, and have a common platform. So in worst case scenario, you can revisit at a place if somebody feels that it's not clear. So if Freedom to Grow, let's say, is a toolbox, OpenSpace could be one of the most important tools in
that's
that
really
book.
Cool. Yeah. That's pretty cool. I mean, the reason I found it inspiring is because it's just such a cool way of working, and I, you know, one of the things I like the most about the new business, let's say, versus old business, is that businesses are starting to realize now that we're dealing with adults, right? It's more about responsibility, or as Netflix puts it, freedom and responsibility, instead of, you know, policing to get what we need to get done.
Exactly.
Is there a technology or is there something that's out there that you haven't seen yet that you'd like to see, you know, that you feel would help you in this Freedom to Grow, would help, you know, you in your career? Any particular tech, or, you know, you can have as crazy of an idea as you want.
I don't think so. I mean, you could have like online workshops, let's say, that you can design, draw, comment on a bigger platforms, bigger screens together. We kind of doing that with a Beam actually, and commenting and stuff. But I would like to see mini hubs, let's say, specified for the specific action, and having on the background the relevant servers, technology, and you know, having the right people in the right place, let's say. And yeah, I think that will happen eventually.
That's very cool. That's very cool. Is BIM important in your project? Have you seen it play a bigger role in your project versus projects that you've done in the past? How do you feel it's helped you? And if it has, maybe it hasn't at all.
Yeah, I mean, the specific project is quite important because we have a lot of different disciplines, and the new pier is the only structure in aviation, I think, that has all the three different security types in one building. So you have the Schengen, the non-Schengen, and the unscreened Schengen flights in one building, making all the systems infrastructure pretty complicating. And you can imagine that things are quite crowded in terms of MEP, and you need to sustain aesthetically requirements from the architects. And yeah, it's a very dynamic process. So BIM has helped us to coordinate all the disciplines and to have a common language, let's say. In comparison, in addition, when you have open space, you can split the screen and see the as-built situation, and in the other half you can see how it should look like, and you can compare of where we're going, if we're going to the right direction, and what we have to amend. So yeah, it's again an important tool, and I would strongly recommend, even if it's not in your primary scope, the BIM, to have it as a backup tool to, you know, if you're working with different disciplines. If you have only one project to do the architectural stuff, okay, but if you have MEP, structures, architects, everything, you need to coordinate them in a common platform.
That's awesome. I think for those who don't know our industry so well, who designs these systems, right? Who are these engineers that design? Is there like an airport expert that's able to analyze traffic flows and tell you where the Schengen versus non-Schengen versus, you know, unchecked Schengen, people will be walking which directions? I mean, you know, walking around airports, you see all these little signs. I'm sure every single one of those is calculated. Who are the people designing these solutions?
I mean, yeah, it's coming from the architects mainly, but they get the requirements from stakeholders, the client, and all the relevant parties that they're doing this job for the whole career experience. So there are people who are dealing with how the baggage will go, how the people will check in, and everything. Also, we have a six-month period of, we call it ORAT, which it's pretty much a test drive of the pier. So you have people that they're like actors, and you know, they try to check in, pick up their luggage, find their flights, and see if the signage and everything is working, and also test the system if your luggage will reach the right gate, if you will check in the right person, if you do the right passport control. So this period is 6 months, and we are there as designers to change anything that is required.
Wow, that's so cool. It sounds like a cool sort of career, but it's also awesome that, you know, the most exciting part is that you get to work with these people too. That's great. Would you say, I'm not sure if it has taken place on your project, but would you say 4D BIM and simulations and where all of this is going is changing and would change that game ultimately, would make it better?
It more efficient? Yeah, it will change the game a lot. There will be some, I believe there will be some positions that they will fade away in a bit, because they will be replaced by these platforms. On the other hand, these platforms need people to use them. It's like, you know, when you're a programmer, a computer programmer, I still hear that everybody's studying IT, but still they're looking for people to program applications, and all the data centers are looking for this kind of people, and it's still a big shortage. So I believe we will go at that area where, you know, engineers would be more tech people. unless, again, it depends on the position. You need to have the experience there. You need to have people on site who have seen a lot of projects in similar industries like aviation, and you need that. Of course, you cannot replace that with any type of technology. But daily stuff that you need to count some columns or to count some cable trays, things like that, I think will be replaced pretty much soon. And I think that is good for the engineers as well, because they will focus on creative stuff and not repetitive stuff that an application could do.
Right, that's the most exciting part. It sounds by what you're saying that it's more of a shifting of roles, repurposing of roles, versus a replacement, of roles by technology. More freedom to think, freedom to grow, perhaps.
Exactly.
That's so cool. Ari, I want to ask you a question that we ask all of our guests here, and that's, how would you like to see construction 10 years from now? Not what do you think construction will be in 10 years from now, but how would you like to see construction 10 years from now?
I would like to see it super safe with zero casualties, because it's an industry that differs from project to project and from environment to environment, let's say. So you can build a tower in a country, and then you can build the same thing in another country, and you have different conditions, different subcontractors, different people to make decisions, and you can have unsafe conditions. We have the safety culture, which is going really well, I think, and I would like to see that to 100% no casualties, no accidents in the 10 years. And I hope the technology can help there. And, with several GPS to see all the workers where they are, if everybody is safe. And I think we need to step away of the culture of, we have cameras, we have trackers. I think when we are in on site, we need to make sure that somebody is watching us. Even if she's not there, they know that, we're moving, we're safe. And that would be the first thing, and the other thing is would be to see the industry matching the other industries as well, like in terms of technology and the pace of improvement.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for your time. It's such a pleasure to speak to you, to interact with you, to work with you. I really appreciate your time on the podcast today. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. We really do hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you think that it delivered value to you, please share it with a friend who will appreciate it as well. Thanks.